ever establish what your walk-up music would be?
Yeah, we did.
I don't remember. What was it?
I don't either. And I didn't write it down on my boogie board.
Don't they play Natasha Bedingfield for you on Scalzo and
Ross?
Yeah,
but that's not my walk-up music.
That's not your jam? The Milwaukee Brewers are hot. Again. After Jesse was, I don't want to say he sprained an ankle jumping off the bandwagon, but he was starting to have his doubts. Should have listened to Sophia.
They couldn't
hit. Raise those concerns.
They're hitting now. They couldn't hit before.
After a 10-inning win yesterday, joining us now to tell us more and be roped into some ridiculous conversation, which is often standard operating procedure when she joins us. It is our friend Sophia Minert on Wilde and Tausch. Sophia, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm always here for a ridiculous conversation.
Well, Tausch got all nostalgic over the weekend, and I thought it was brilliant. And then I put it on social media, and it has gotten zero traction. None. Like I'm crestfallen by this. But maybe if you chime in with that place that you go to feel nostalgic, where nostalgia just washes over you. Maybe it's Edgewood High School, I don't know. Where is that place, in whether it's in the greater Madison Metroplex or elsewhere, that gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling of nostalgia?
Man, well, I did spend a lot of time as a kid at Edgewood. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of memories there with my brothers and I running around, causing all kinds of shenanigans. That would definitely be a place. I think, gosh, in the Madison area, like our neighborhood pool that we always went to as kids, and then I was a lifeguard there for probably 5 or 6 summers once I turned 16. Spent a lot of days there. I mean, the Memorial Union too, like my parents, you know, going there for ice cream and stuff. And, I don't know. There's a lot of good places in Madison that would make up the list. What was
all right,
it for
so
Tausch?
Now, Tausch?
Yeah, it was a roller rink back in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
It was a old school roller rink that kind of brought back a lot of memories. And I can't even roller
That's
skate.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Sophia, can you roller skate?
But you can no longer roller skate?
No, I can't. I don't have an MCL. I don't want to blow my knee out doing something that I'm not. You know. If it's going to be, it's pickleball. That's where I'm going down. If something happens, it's pickleball.
You're saying your body has suffered enough wear and tear that we don't need to add additional.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's pulled out the I don't have an MCL twice now this show, which is apparently his new go-to, but it doesn't stop him from playing pickleball. So, do you have roller skating experience? And I'm talking like not roller blading. I'm talking like what are there? 4 wheels on those?
4 wheels.
8 wheels on
the and a little stopper right at the top of the toe.
Yeah, so in Madison, I don't know if this place still exists, but the place that you would go to for the roller skating was called Fast Forward. It was over by, like, off of Verona Road. It was kind of in the Fitchburg area. And, yeah, it was called Fast Forward, and that's where you would go for, like, the roller skating and, you know, birthday parties. And it was always such a fun day when you went there. I can't say I was great at it, but I mean, it was fun to just, you know, cruise around the rink.
Yeah, no, it was more just the spot, you know, couple skating and the whole bit. Limbo, you go under, you get the strobe lights moving. That's more of the nostalgia. All right, Sophia, so we started off, Jason was on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, I think. And there,
thanks for listening.
One of Dario and Jen's children was playing baseball. And they just flip a coin to see who advances to the championship. I have a solution. It
wait
has
a minute.
To.
You didn't. You, wait a minute. You can't just say that they just flip a coin like you show up at the park and there was a time constraint that caused it. I mean, give her a little more detail here.
Go ahead.
So was it a tie game or was it a time constraint?
It was a 75-minute. I'll help Tausch out. It was a 75-minute time limit on the game. The game was tied when they reached the time limit, and then it was tied. It was supposed to revert to the previous inning score, which was also tied. So then they flipped a coin to see who advanced to the championship, which is a travesty by all involved in it, except for apparently these tournament officials.
Yeah, that's awful.
Can't happen. Can't happen. My solution, and this is where I want to go with, Sam Decker tweeted something out. We just did it on our show. The Brewers have been good with with extra inning games and bunting. When did it become so? I know analytics has taken over baseball, and you can't bunt. But this doesn't it make sense? And from your point of view, doing this as long as you've been doing it, why are we not bunting guys over to third base? And having one out like it used to. Why has that changed?
Oh, there's a lot of layers to this. And we have asked this to Craig Counsell. Craig is not a manager who will often ask the player to drop down a bunt. And he said it's just because oftentimes they can't do it. They just can't execute it. A big reason for that is because of the quality of the pitching, right? Trying to square up the velocity, the movement of pitches now, different arm angles. It's not something that the majority of players are good at executing on a regular basis, is how he phrases it. I think if he had a higher degree of confidence in that every time you asked a position player, or even a pitcher, to drop down a bunt that they could execute it, you would probably see it more. But it's just hard to do at the major league level with the pitching that they're seeing. It has, ironically, it has worked out for them. The last two extra inning games, it was Keston Hira yesterday. And then Thursday in the series finale against the Padres, it was JBJ who had the big hit. And I'm blanking on who dropped down a bunt in that game too, but there was a bunt involved, and you're almost still so shocked to see it because we just don't see it very often, especially from this team, because it's just not part of Craig's philosophy. So it's also it's like sacrificing an out from a position player when you'd prefer to just have them have a good at bat and preferably have hard contact and put the ball in play, even if it is a line out or a sac fly. Something that could still move a runner. It's just, he's felt that the majority of players just can't drop down a bunt on a consistent basis.
Talking with Sophia Minert on Wilde and Tausch, I'm sad to see the bunt going away. That was one of the few things I did well during my little
fielding. I got a hard time buying that it's bunting. Easier to hit a baseball than to bunt one. I had a hard time buying that.
All right, wait a minute now.
Yeah, I hear you, because I think we all hear from fans, right, especially when the offense is struggling, right? Like you see, we see all the comments and hear all the comments of like, why can't this team, move runners over? Why don't they drop down a bunt? Why don't you do X, Y, Z? Like, I understand, the questions and even the frustration with it. I do get like Craig's point of view on it, though, is like, if he really feels like you're just wasting an out if a player can't execute it, the outs are precious. So, I don't know. I think it's frustrating because that's how so many people are taught to play, right? Like you're probably thinking of playing baseball as a kid, and that's, you're taught those fundamental things. Mm-hmm. Not that these guys aren't also taught those things, but it's just harder to execute it. When you're facing the quality of the pitching and the velocity that these guys are seeing.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get not wanting to give up an out, but if you don't have if somebody can hit a baseball 350, 400 feet, but they can't bunt it, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the nostalgia. That's the nostalgia coming out of me, guys.
It feels a little backwards, right? Like,
yep.
It feels a little backwards of, like, how can you – have hard contact against a fastball that's coming in at 98 with movement but you can't, square it up and drop it down to the perfect location. Like, I get it. I also just think, like, if the average person were to stand in there for one at bat, they probably wouldn't last. You know, they'd probably run out. So, just, you know, what these guys see every day is insane.
Mm-hmm. All right, now I have a multiple questions that have come from this, and we haven't really gotten into full-fledged Brewers talk, and Sophia has other things to do. But quickly, Tausch, as a long ball hitter in your baseball career, how often did you bunt yourself? And as a coach, how often do you ask your kids to bunt?
No, as I was the third hitter, so I didn't bunt. But I didn't strike out.
Coaching wise, are you having your kids bunt or not?
No, we're not.
Okay,
it's too early.
We're only swing 10, away.
10 year olds. It's too early to be bunting.
Is it?
Yep. Yep.
All right. So Sophia, 13, probably. In our nostalgia discussion, you made a very passing reference that I need to follow up on. Have you seen the movie The Sandlot? I know you're much younger than me.
Oh, of course, yes. That's mandatory viewing.
Okay, so then my question is, during your lifeguarding career, did any squints Polydoruses try to pull a Wendy Peppercorn on you and fake drowning in search of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on the side of the pool?
No, I definitely did not. Fortunately, I never had to save anyone. I never had to do CPR. There was no Wendy scenes in my lifeguarding career.
We can all agree that is an all-time brilliant move, though, by Squints, right?
Yeah, and it's such a classic scene in the movie, too.
All right, enough tomfoolery. What's been the difference in the last week and change for this team? Jesse just says hitting. Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I would take it one step further, and I would just say timely hitting. I think they've been more consistent, kind of in all phases. I think you've seen power from them. You're seeing it from different guys. You're seeing, you know, the timely hit, runners in scoring position. That's been a big story for this team of why they've struggled. You know, I think they're putting the ball in play more. I think Willy Adames has just been, he kind of came at the right time. You know, they were coming off of a tough series against the Royals. They were kind of in the middle of this kind of slump as a team. Just things weren't coming together for them. And then he came and he's just been this boost of energy, and he's been really productive, and, I mean, it's really been a remarkable difference, I think. Not that you can point to him and say he's the only thing, because I think other guys are doing better as well. So I think it's power. I think it's better at bats. I think it's putting the ball in play. It's the timely hit. It's just kind of all starting to come together. And I do think we're getting a better look at, like, the lineup that we thought that we would see, finally getting through all of the injuries. I think this is, you know, they're getting a more consistent look at the lineup that they thought that they would have, and I think that also helps.
Well, Wendy, I mean, Sophia, it is always great to have you. Thanks for making time for us. You're the best.
Well, thanks, guys. Have a great day, and I hope there's more nostalgia in your day.